All right, look at 1 Corinthians 9. I want to preach to you why we fail as soul winners. Very basic message and nothing deep about it, but very important. Especially where we are now with the comments I was just making. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting verse 19. Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that by all means I might save, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." Now, Paul shows there a great willingness to go to all kinds of lengths to get a soul saved. Not doing anything wrong, even for a second, but willing to sacrifice his own so-called freedoms and luxuries and comforts, if he had any, to get a soul saved. And he's showing the importance of a soul here. And I want to say a few things tonight about the importance of soul winning and how you need to get your eyes on it and why you don't, and one of the weaknesses involved and why we don't. Now, Paul didn't let any culture, as you see, it didn't matter what the religion was, it didn't matter what the culture was, it didn't matter what race of people they were. Paul said, "I'm all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." You're not going to save them all, but you can save some. Hudson Taylor went to China, and when he got to China, he found a bunch of missionaries that were just useless. They got themselves comfortable in their little compounds, and they kept apart from the Chinese, and Hudson Taylor started adopting all the Chinese culture and dress and everything. They thought the missionaries derided and made fun of them, mocked them. He dyed his hair black. He plucked his eyebrows and wore the curly shoes that hurt his feet and the baggy pants. And they said by him immersing himself in that culture, their food, their language, their dress, that after a number of years, he could walk inland China and be mistaken for a Chinaman. What was that all about? To reach souls. He saw it when he first got there. He said, "These guys aren't interested in souls. They're just interested in just getting by." And he had to get away from them. Now, Paul was willing to keep a balance in his life. Look at verse 25 in the same chapter. 1 Corinthians 9:25, "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." Temperate, meaning even. The temperate zone in the world is not real hot, it's not equatorial, and it's not freezing. It's balanced. One of the hardest things you'll do in your Christian life is keep a balance. You can't pray all the time. You can't read your Bible all the time. You can't witness all the time. You've got to keep a balance in those things. And that'll be, you'll find, if you haven't found out already, one of the hardest things you're going to do is live a balanced Christian life. The Christian life is not easy. It's against the flesh. There's times you should be reading the Bible and studying. There's times you ought to be praying. There's times you ought to be getting out there and trying to win souls. But there's a balance there, and Paul was willing to keep that balance in order for souls to be saved. Now, Christians got to watch it, see? Our flesh just always wants to take a good thing and twist it and abuse it. Paul says, use the world, don't abuse it. You can't just have one or two Oreo cookies. You have to have the whole row. You say, "Who are you talking about?" Guess. How would I know that? That's how the flesh is. It'll take one thing. Say, "Well, I want to study the Bible." And so you just let souls go to hell while you just study the Bible and don't do anything else. And you'll argue with other Christians while souls around you go to hell. That's not keeping balanced. Now, I want to give you a couple of reasons why we fail as soul winners. Number one, a lack of compassion. Look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Talking about Jesus Christ, Matthew 9:36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Jesus Christ had thousands of people gather around him to listen to what he was saying and try and see his miracles that he was performing. Word went out, and here he's looking at these people, and the Bible says when he looked out at them, he saw those souls and he had compassion on them. And he says, you know what they are? They're like sheep scattered with no shepherd. Somebody needs to go get them. Yeah. He had compassion on them. You know why we fail as soul winners? We fail to have compassion on people. Look at Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And verse 14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Look at chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Verse 32. Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. He's worried about them not eating. He's not eating. He's not worried about himself. He's worried about them. Look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 34. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. Now the truth is, Jesus Christ kept eternity in view. For him to have compassion on the multitude, he had to see them as a soul. He had to see their eternal value as a soul. And that's hard to do for us because we're physical and we're carnal. We're fleshly. And what we see coming down the street toward us is another bag of flesh. And we immediately make a judgment on it. Well, this guy's a jerk. This lady's ugly. Don't tell me you don't think like that. You do. Because you're fleshly just like I am. And you know why you fail to reach a soul? Because you fail to have compassion. Jesus Christ kept the will of God in his mind. He kept eternity in mind. And when a guy came down holding up his pants around his knees and all kinds of hardware in his face and tattoos all over him, he didn't say, oh, there's a jerk. He said, that poor guy. He needs help. He's crying for help. He's a soul. And he has no answer, so he's tattooing himself. He's doing all kinds of stuff to him. He's crying out, will somebody please pay attention to me? He's not a jerk. He's a lost soul. And Jesus Christ had compassion. One of the reasons we fail as soul winners is because we fail to look that way. It's very easy for us to look at the physical, the temporal. That's what we naturally do. And you need to do something about that. The Christians say, well, you know, I get embarrassed and I get, you know, it's kind of hard for me to open my mouth. Yeah, that's a problem for some people. Most of it is you just don't care. You just don't see them as a soul on their way to hell, and you don't care if they go to hell. That's the problem. You don't have compassion on them. If you believe what you say you believe about this Bible, you wouldn't care about being embarrassed. Or you do care about it in the flesh, but you overcome it and you say, all right, I'll get embarrassed. I've been embarrassed in plenty. I get embarrassed easily. 5 o'clock in the morning on a plane, it's perfectly quiet, and I start talking to a guy next to me. I don't want to talk to the guy next to me. I want to be left alone. I want him to leave me alone. I'll leave him alone. We'll be happy. Yeah, and just let him go to hell. All right, Lord, you put this guy in this seat. You put me in this seat for a reason. So I start talking to the guy, and I make small talk with him, and everything's going fine. And then I bring up the Lord, and he starts yelling at me. You say, what'd you do? Turned red. Everybody in the plane's looking at me. It's quiet as could be. And this guy starts yelling at me. I don't want to hear that blank line. Everybody's looking at me. You say, you got embarrassed. So what? I didn't die. It wasn't the end of the world. I got embarrassed. Do you get embarrassed? All right, good. Get over it. And do it. Hey, you know what? I'm going to stand at the judgment seat one day. I made that guy get that seat to put him next to you, and you're worried about getting embarrassed, huh? Do you realize the work I did to get you two together? And you just blew it. Because you're worried about what someone might think of you. Well, what if he gets mad at me and starts yelling at me? And, yeah, what if he does? How about some compassion? That might be that guy's only chance. You're a Bible believer. Are you going to tell him? Well, if you're not, who is? The Southern Baptist? The Methodist? Who is going to tell him that the Bible believer won't open his mouth? You with all your correct doctrine. You can rightly divide and you all the dispensations. And you just let the guy sit there for 2 hours on the plane and you let him go to hell. Or the lady in the supermarket or the guy at the gas station, wherever it is. And just let him go to hell. Why? Because you don't care. David Brainerd back in the 1700s up in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York going out to the wilderness trying to reach the Indians. I care not where or how I live or what hardship I go through so long as I can gain souls for Christ. He died before he was 30 years old, going through those New England winters, crossing rivers, getting wet and getting pneumonia, trying to reach Indians to get them saved. Matthew Henry, I find more happiness in the gain of one soul to Christ than a mountain of silver and gold to myself. The Apostle Paul says, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For what? For my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Who are they? Those are Jews that are trying to kill him. Those are Jews that are, everywhere he goes, are fighting his work. He says, I'm telling you the truth in Christ, I lie not. I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They hate Christ. They hate the gospel when I preach it. They stone me. They throw me in jail. They've beaten me. And I got this heaviness for them. I want to see them saved. Now, where'd you go last week? Where'd the Lord put you in your travels? Back and forth to work or whatever you did last week. You know what you did last week, everyone in here? You made an impression on somebody. I don't know what kind, but you made some kind of impression. Just like somebody went by you and they made an impression on you. What kind of impression did you leave? You want to go through life everyone thinking you're cool? You fit in and you're something else and you're really tough? Or whatever it is, you're beautiful. Is that the impression you're leaving people? For eternity? Oh, yeah, I like that guy. He's cool. He's dressed nice. Oh, that lady's beautiful. Yeah. That's the impression you're leaving? That's it? What kind of impression are you leaving? You're leaving some. And one of the reasons you fail as a soul winner is because you lack compassion. You know what Bible believers do? They read the Bible on and off, not regular, like they should. And then every once in a while they get this little tinge of conscience, and I said, I should witness. I haven't witnessed somebody for a long time. I need to go out and do something. And they take a little stab at it, and then don't do it again for a long time. Winning souls is not a light thing. It's not a thought that should come up once in a while. It should be driving you. Hey, I was on my way to hell, and somebody came by and told me. Now I owe them. And you owe them. Compassion will drive you to continue to do things and make some sacrifices to reach somebody. Little baby gets sick and you have to bring it to the hospital. You know what those nurses will do? They'll do their job. You know what a mother will do? Whatever it takes to get that baby well. Why? Because she has compassion. I'm not saying there aren't some nurses that don't have compassion, but it's not their baby. Compassion will drive you. And you need to be driven by compassion. Your Savior was. You fail as a soul winner because you lack compassion. Secondly, because of a lack of discernment. Look at John chapter 4. John John chapter 4. And verse 34. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. What's somebody saying? Well, you know, we got a crop coming in, but it doesn't come in for another 4 months. He says, you need to wake up. You need to have some discernment and look out at that field. It's already white to harvest, and they're dying on the vine. And that's what you and I need to see, is have some discernment. Those people are dying and going to hell all around us. I know you can't reach everyone, and I'm not saying that. But you need to open your eyes, spiritual eyes, to have some discernment, to recognize them. The Christian isn't just a set of time, all right, I'll go soul winning for 45 minutes on Thursday night or Saturday afternoon, whatever you pick. It's wherever you're going, you're supposed to be a witness for Jesus Christ, wherever he puts you. It's not just setting a time. You need to open your eyes and see they're dying on the vine. We're laborers in the harvest. The problem is not with the fruit. The problem's with the laborers. We read it back in Matthew 9. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest, he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The problem's with the laborers. They're not out there laboring. The fruit's ready. And the Lord says that's what the problem is. You should be at work in the field. We're not talking about how many can you get saved with numbers and all that baloney. We're talking about opening your eyes to people around you. Lord, give me somebody to talk to. Hey, I'm just like you. I preach this at myself before I'm preaching at you. I'm not naturally open and friendly talking to people. I started going on walks around my neighborhood. You know what I did? I had to pray and ask the Lord to open my eyes to people. Spiritual discernment, being at work in the field, those are lives, those are souls around you, going by you. Maybe the last time you're ever going to see them. And I guarantee at the judgment seat, there's going to be some times where the Lord's going to say to me, watch this. He's going to say, look what I did in this guy's life. I gave him a flat tire right here so he'd be right in front of your face right here. I timed it back here so that he'd be right there when you got there. And look what you did. Get out of my way, I'm in a hurry. And you went buzzing along because you're so important, aren't you? And I did that work to get him because you have the truth, don't you? You're Mr. Preacher, aren't you? And you just let him go to hell because you were busy, because you were in a hurry. That's what the Son of the Judgment Seat is going to be. The Lord did some things in your life to get somebody past you last week. And you don't have the spiritual discernment. We look on the outside. And I do it all the time. I have to remind myself, oh, that woman's pretty nasty. Listen to her mouth. It's a lost soul. That kid's a punk. It's a lost soul. No discernment when all you do is look at the physical. As long as you look on the outside, you will see a nasty woman, a punk. But with some spiritual discernment, you'll see a soul that Jesus Christ wants to save. That God Almighty created for His pleasure and wants to get pleasure out of that life. And it takes some discernment. You know what we do? We miss the opportunity. You're never going to know until you try. I'm going to tell you this from experience. It never works out like I think it's going to. I look at someone and say, there'd be a good one to witness to, and it isn't. And I say, that guy sure don't want to hear it. And he does. I was at a gas station one time, and a biker, I'm just starting to pump the gas, and I got, biker pulls in. He's got the vest, he's got the tattoos, he's got the wallet with the big chain on going into his pocket, and he gets off the bike, he takes off his helmet, all the hair falls out, you know, rings in his nose and everything else. And the Lord said, go talk to him. Go talk to him. That guy, look at him. You don't want to hear it. Go talk to him. All right, I'll go talk to him. Great evangelist, huh? I go over there with a tract and I said, hey, sir, can I give you something to read? What's it about? Well, I'll tell you about Jesus Christ. I've been thinking about God lately. What? That's not what you're supposed to say. Now what do I say? I wasn't ready for that. I get to say something to a guy. It ain't going to work unless you try. I was making a hospital visit one time and just get up there, and this is just typical me. I just full of myself all the time, half the time anyway. And I go up there, and just as I get there, the nurses say, well, you can't make this visit. We're just changing shifts. It's an ICU visit. We're just changing shifts. It's going to take about 20 minutes. It took me 20 minutes to get down to a stupid hospital. Now I'm going to wait 20 minutes for this shift change. So I start walking out, and I call my wife, and I said, well, I got to wait down here 20 minutes. She said, will you quit grumbling? Will you quit preaching? She said, I'll just make another visit and wait. It'll be all right. She preaches at me a minute and gets me right. And I said, all right, I'll wait. I go downstairs and I go outside, and here's a black guy sitting on a bench, and he's got his head down. And I walk over to him, and he's got his head down. And I said, hey, sir, can I talk to you a minute? He says, yeah, all right. And he says, what are you thinking about? You look like you're in deep thought. He said, I'm thinking about dying. What about dying? What happens next? I sit down on the bench, and not even 10 minutes later, I'm leading a guy crying, tears coming down his face, and leading him to Christ. I'm so busy, I'm having a 20-minute wait. It was a pretty good 20-minute wait. But I wish it was natural that I'd say, oh, good, I got a 20-minute wait. That means I could go witness to somebody. I wish I thought like that. I took out my Bible on a plane one time. I had the lady sitting next to me. I hadn't said a word to her. I took out the Bible, opened my Bible, and started reading. She said, hey, sir, I see you got a Bible there. She said, my life's a complete mess. Do you think God cares? Yeah, I think he does. That's why we're here. That's why you're sitting next to me. I remember years ago, a long time ago, I was preaching up in New Haven, Connecticut, out on the street and giving out some tracts and stopping and walking around giving out some tracts. People are just walking. This is by Yale, New Haven. People are just walking down the sidewalk. And in the middle of the sidewalk, just oblivious to everybody, this kid's hands in his pocket, about a 17-year-old kid, his hands are in his pocket, and he's staring down at the sidewalk. He's oblivious to everyone walking by, and people are bumping him, and he's just kind of like this. And I walked up to him and I said, hey, and he didn't even hear me. He was in his own world. And I put the track in front of his face and I said, hey, can I give you something to read? And started talking to him, and he starts breaking down crying as I'm talking to him. I'm telling him about heaven and hell and give him the gospel, and he ends up getting saved, falls on his knees on the sidewalk and gets saved. And when he gets up while he's crying, he says, do you know what I was thinking about when you came up to me? And I said, I have no idea, but I know you were in your own world. You were out of it. He said, I was thinking of a way to kill myself. He said, I was trying to figure a way to kill myself where it wouldn't be real painful. And he said, now I'm saved. You got to have some discernment. You got to open your eyes. Now, I'm not claiming that's going to happen every day of your life. Those aren't the norms. But you're not going to know if you don't try. Who'd you go by last week that you really didn't even stop and have the spiritual discernment to say, hey, this person looks like they're in trouble. They might need some help. And they might listen. Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Verse 51. I like the apostles because it helps justify my sin. Because they're men just like we are. And look what these two do. Great men here, James and John. Verse 51. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them? Even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. You don't have this discernment. I didn't come to call fire down and kill people and smoke them. I came down here to save them. Amen. You don't know what spirit you're of. Lord, look at that jerk. All this tattoos all over him. What an idiot. You don't even know what spirit you're of. Why are you talking like that? That's a soul I created. And I'm not getting any pleasure out of his life in that condition. Why don't you help him? Why don't you have the discernment to realize what you're looking at? And we fail as soul winners because of a lack of discernment. Come back to Matthew chapter 9. The third reason I want to say we fail as soul winners because of a lack of prayer. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. He says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know why more Christians don't go overseas to try and win souls? Because they don't pray about it. Though, if the Lord's not willing that any should perish, and there's 7 billion souls on the earth, then somebody isn't doing what they've been called to do. They're not even hearing the call. Because he doesn't want a bunch of Christians just all fellowshipping together in one place. He wants those souls out there saved. And he's calling. But somebody's not hearing the call. And the reason you don't hear the call is because you're not praying. If you prayed, try this, pray at least once a week, if not every day. Lord, would you please send somebody to those Africans that are dying? Lord, would you please send somebody to those poor Muslims that don't have the truth? You know why you don't pray that? Because he might say, what about you? Well, I want to make America great again and sit in a hammock and be comfortable and retire. Yeah. Pray, Lord, send somebody into the harvest. Send somebody. I've prayed many times, Lord, would you please send me? And he won't do it. But at least I know he doesn't want me to go. Do you? Are you praying? You know I need to pray because I'm so stinking carnal. Because I will look at this guy and say, what a jerk. That's my first reaction. A carnal reaction. Not when I'm praying. When I'm praying, it offsets that kind of carnality. I said, Lord, help me to help this guy now. Look at the poor guy. He's crying for some help. Help me to help him. That comes through prayer. I started to tell you, I've been going for walks around my neighborhood, and I started praying. I said, now, Lord, don't let me just go for a walk. Let me talk to somebody. And I started doing that, and in about 3 weeks' time, I had 3 Roman Catholics, a Methodist, and a complete atheist, in just 3 weeks' time, just on walks around my neighborhood to talk to and get a full witness in to those 5 people. Three Catholics, just like that, one after another. Just why? Not because I'm spiritual. Because I was praying. And by praying, my mind was set to not be the stinking carnal self that I am. Lord, let me talk to this guy. I got a neighbor I'm still praying for. He's a jerk. The guy's a mess. He won't even talk. He won't even look at me. I never did anything to him. I try and be nice to the guy. I am bent on being nice to that guy. I don't care. I'm going to try and win that guy over. He's still a jerk, but he's lost. The only thing I did was when I first moved in, because I know me, I try and witness to somebody right away. So I don't blow it, and just next thing you know, months have gone by, and I still haven't said anything to him. So the first time I met him, I witnessed to him. I didn't say, hey, you're going to hell. I just, you know, worked into it and talking with him, and he won't talk to me since. He looks the other way. I go, I could be right. In fact, I was talking to my other neighbor across the street, and this guy rides a bike by, and he says, hey, Rob. And Rob says, what about Brian? He's here too. And I said, I don't know what's wrong with the guy. I said, I'm still gonna love him. I'm still gonna care for him and do what I can. I don't know what's wrong with him. He said, well, that's the right thing, Brian. This guy saved you. That's the right thing, Brian. You keep it up. You're a preacher. Yeah, remind me. You know why we fail as soul winners? Because we don't pray. And when I pray, Lord, help me to see somebody this week I can talk to, then I see it. Not naturally, but prayer does that. And the Lord will give you chances. But you got to go out and do it. You got to be on your knees in prayer. Lord, give me a chance to talk to somebody this week, tomorrow, today. And watch what will happen. You'll start seeing people differently. You'll start seeing opportunities that you'll miss if you don't pray. William Booth was constantly out in the streets of London trying to get the poor people out there saved. And he said, you should work as if all depended on your work, and you should pray as if all depended on your prayer. You ought to remember that. Get to work as if everything depended on how you work, but pray as if everything depended on how you pray. Prayer will help your lack of discernment. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. Not just, you know, Lord, thank you for the food. But the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for Israel that they might be saved, for they bear them record they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Paul saw a bunch of lost Jews. They had the Old Testament law, and that's all they had. And they had a zeal for their religion. And instead of hating them, Paul said, my heart's breaking for them. I got a desire to reach these people. And then he says something that I still can't even imagine. He said, I could wish myself a curse from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He can't go to hell for them. None of us can go to hell for somebody else. We can't save that person. Only Jesus Christ can save them. You know that. But Paul said, if I could, I'd go to hell for them. Well, I don't have that. I don't think I have that for my own brother who's lost. I don't have that kind of a zeal for my own brother's soul that I'd go to hell for him. Now, I know I can't, so it really doesn't matter what you say about it. But boy, you talk about some discernment for souls and some prayer for them. We're talking about Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, a tough man. Doctrinal straight, doesn't give up any doctrine for anything. He said, I'll become anything to any man that I might win him. Praying. Look at Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Look how tough Paul is. Verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Come down to verse 32. Acts 20, verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all, and they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Paul says, weep with them that weep. Paul is a man of tears for lost souls. Now, you just search your own heart. When's the last time you cried for a lost soul? Can you think of a time you cried for yourself and your own troubles? I'll bet you could. When's the last time you had tears for a lost soul? I mean, your own brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers, you can't cry over them? You can't get in prayer alone and say, God, do what it takes. Would you please save them? Paul was a pretty tough man. He cried. He wept for the ministry God gave him. Sometimes I just have no compassion at all. Just cold as ice. And I have to get in prayer. I say, Lord, I don't know why I'm so selfish, but would you help me? Would you soften me up? Would you give me some tears? I've still got a lost brother. Do you care? You're going to shed some tears over someone going to hell if they're your loved one? Not some jerk, but your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, your kids. Some compassion. Other times, the thought of loved ones going to hell just tear me up. And sometimes it doesn't even bother me. I don't even think of it. Praying for a sister for 17 years. And one day I get home and get a phone call, and she's weeping on the other end of the phone. She's not even able to talk. And she said, finally get some words out. She says, Brian, I have to talk to you. She said, I'm in trouble. I witnessed to her for years, 17 years, praying for her. She said, my life's a mess. I'm in trouble. And she said, I don't know God. And she said, I called out to God. And she said, I moved the coffee table out of the middle of the living room. I got on my knees. And she said, God, I need help. And all I kept hearing was, call Brian, call Brian. And she called me. And I just started from square one like I never witnessed to her and said, Jan, here's what you need to hear. And I gave her the gospel and she got saved on the phone. 17 years of some tears and some crying. First time I witnessed to her, she got in my face and she's yelling and screaming at me. And I walked away crying when I was done with that encounter. Just a baby Christian, just wanted to see my sister saved. I said, God, she'll never get saved. 17 years, she got saved. 19 years for another sister. She got saved. The younger brother, he saved. I still got one, 43 years, and he's still lost. I can't even say any more to him. Unless the Lord opens something up, I can't say anything to him. So I pray. I say, oh, Lord, he won't listen to me. Put someone else in his path. Get somebody else to talk to him. One day my brother calls me and said, hey, some guy just moved next to me. He's just like you. I said, why? He told me I'm going to hell. Thank you, Lord. I'm serious. Getting him a car wreck. Please don't kill him. Please don't do anything. I know what I deserve. But do anything. Just don't let him go to hell. Prayer. And we fail as soul winners because of lack of prayer. And then fourthly, I want to say we fail as soul winners because of a lack of persistence. Look at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. What is that? Persistence. Lord, we tried all night, nevertheless. We'll try again, if you say so. Lord, 43 years, he's still not saved. Nevertheless, try again if you give me the chance. Persistence. I'll tell you, there's not too many things I can think of that the Lord uses more in saving souls than a one-on-one witness. That is more effective than actually preaching. Of course, you are preaching to them, but that one-on-one compassion for a soul, you talking to a soul one-on-one, is what the Lord uses more than anything. Can he use it in your life? Well, I tried, but they didn't like it. Did you try again? I've never heard a guy say, hey, you ever gone fishing? Are you a fisherman? Well, I tried once, but didn't catch anything. You a deer hunter? Well, I tried once, but didn't see anything. I know what you do if you like doing something. You do it. Again and again. You're persistent at it. Do you like winning souls? Do you care about them? Then you'll be persistent at it. You know, a personal, compassionate talk with somebody that's showing you care about them is effective. But you have to be persistent at it. You have to keep going back and keep trying. Yeah, eventually they may say, I don't want to hear it anymore. Okay, but at least you tried. And then pray for another chance. I was talking to a guy, one of these guys, I went on a walk one time. This guy claimed to be an atheist. And as soon as I brought up the Lord, I made some small talk with him first, and I brought up the Lord and started witnessing to him, and he said, I don't really want to hear anything about God after all I've seen in this world. And you know what a lot of Christians do? You just drop it right there. Well, he doesn't want to hear it, so I'll just... No, be persistent. Keep after him. Don't just let the conversation end. Push it a little bit. Ask the Lord for wisdom to go forward with it. And he said, you know, he said, that might be good for you, but it's not good for me. And I said, sir, it's not about what's good for any of us. It's what the truth is. And he went, well, you got a point there. And opened up to get a complete witness into him. Now, he didn't get saved, but he's gone by my house and saw me out front and, hey, Brian, door's open. I talked to him one other time since then. Every once in a while, it comes to mind to pray for him. You got to be persistent. You got to keep going after it. Now, I'm using some examples personally for me because it means something to me. But I'm not putting myself up as this great soul winner. I'm being honest with you. I'm carnal just like you are. But you know what changes it? Some of these things I'm telling you right here. I'm not a great compassionate person that cares about people all around me. But when I pray, and when I ask the Lord to help me with it, it changes my wicked heart and my selfish ways. You need to be persistent. You need to go after it. You fail as a soul winner because you quit too easily. Listen, anything worth doing is going to take some effort. And don't tell me you can't take the effort to do it. I've been under conviction sitting in a deer stand. 3 hours. Lord says, this is important to you, huh? Well, yeah, Lord, I like it. Okay, would you do this for a soul? Well, yeah, Lord, you know I would. Okay, try it. And he's put me in the position. Drive 10 hours one way to go help a guy. And then 10 hours back. All right, now you can go deer hunting. You do what you want to do. Don't tell me you can't do it. A man does what he wants to do. You like deer hunting? You'll take time to do it. How much time do you take for vacation? How much money do you spend? I'm not saying you shouldn't take a vacation. But when you do what you want to do, oh, I don't have time to soul. I can take a vacation, though. I can take 5, 6, 7 days and put them aside and spend a whole bunch of money on it, can't you? And don't take it wrong and say, I don't think you should be going on a vacation. I'm just trying to make a point. You can be persistent in soul winning, and you have the time to do it. You just got to make the time. And men make the time to do what they want to do. William Booth again in London. Not called, did you say? Not heard, I think you should say. I heard a guy tell me one time, he saw me witnessing at work and he didn't like it. And he said, God didn't call me to do that and get people upset like you do. I said, yes, he did. You just didn't hear him. Not called, did you say? Not heard, I think you should say. Booth said, put your ear to that Bible and hear the Lord call you. Put your ear to the ground and listen to the cries coming from hell. That's what he said. Bid him to pull sinners, put your ear down to the Bible and hear him bid you to pull sinners from the fire. Go stand by the gates of hell and hear the damned beg you to go to their father's house. Charles Spurgeon, the preacher over in England, said, if sinners be damned, at least let them leap into hell over our bodies. If they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped around their knees, pleading with them not to go. Let them not go unwarned and unprayed for. You fail as a soul winner because of a lack of persistence and staying with it. And then finally, we fail as soul winners because of a lack of holiness in our own lives. Look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. In verse 13, John chapter 16, verse 13, Jesus says, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, and He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you." Glorify Jesus Christ in your life. You know what Christians lack today? Lack holiness. And you fail as a soul winner because of the sin in your life. And it prevents you from opening your mouth. And what the devil does, he gets Christians wrapped up and shuts their mouths because of the sin in their lives. Well, I can't open my mouth after what I've done. Well, it's not the truth. You can. But that's your conscience telling you, get it right. And then you can't open your mouth with confidence. And because of a lack of holiness, you fail as a soul winner. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. You know what I need to be a soul winner? I need the Holy Spirit prompting me. Hey, Brian, look at the soul. Look at him. Well, he can't be right there prompting me if I'm sinning. Can two walk together except they be agreed? The Holy Spirit's grieved by sin, and He's quenched by sin, and His work in your life and in your mind and in your conscience will not be evident when you're sinning. And that's where Christians fail as soul winners, because of the lack of holiness. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting verse 2. "For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God." Christians always say, "I want to know the will of God. I want to know the will of God." All right, here it is, black and white. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God." Verse 7, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." Oh, one of those preachers talking about holiness, huh? Look at the next verse. "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." You see what it said? Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit wants to be joined to your spirit, leading you the right way to open your mouth at the right time, and He can't do it when you're not going to use this body sanctified for His use. And the reason you fail as a soul winner is because of sin in your life. And you can literally, and some of you have done it, you've gone weeks and maybe months without even thinking of a soul around you because of sin, just wrapped up in self. Wrapped up in what you want to do and your schedule and how busy you are and whatever money you want to make and whatever plans you have. And it's been months for some of you since you opened your mouth. I dare say that to a Bible-believing crowd here, a good church here. For some of you, it's been months. You haven't even considered a soul around you. Or if you have, you haven't opened your mouth yet. As they say down south, "I'm fixing to." Well, quit fixing to. And do it. You know, one day, you're going to stand at the judgment seat. I wonder if a neighbor is going to come up and have something to say. We talked about our lawns, and we talked about our houses, and we talked about our health, and we talked about... And you never told me about hell? What would Agrippa be able to say to Paul? He couldn't point his finger at Paul. Paul said, "I'm innocent of the blood of all men. But when God gave me the chance, I opened my mouth." I wish I could say that. But I'm working at it. I have to ask the Lord all the time, "Lord, help me to quit being so selfish, so self-centered, so worried about me, and help me to see these people. And it does help when you pray that. Maybe you're selfish like me. I hope you're not as selfish as I am. But you better start praying. Because one day at the judgment, hey, that neighbor of mine, he may not like me, but he's not going to be able to say I didn't tell him. He's not going to point his finger at me and say, you told me about all this and you told me about that. And we talked about deer hunting and we talked about this and that. And you never told me about hell. You never told me about the free gift of eternal life. You have a neighbor like that that could point his finger at you and say that? They will at that great white throne judgment. You know what some of you better do? You better quit planning on doing it. You better go do it. I mean immediately. Quit saying, okay, next week I'll do it. Do it. Get embarrassed. Turn red-faced. Feel like a fool. But do it before it's too late. What would Pilate say if he could come up here tonight out of hell? What would he have to say about facing Jesus Christ face to face? What is truth and walking away? He wouldn't say that tonight. He'd be screaming and crying, oh, if I only listened. What would Herod say if he came up, the one that killed all the babies two and under in Bethlehem? What would he say? You think this is a joke? You think this is just some preacher talking? This is reality. There's people beneath your feet right now screaming, wishing they could get out. Some of your loved ones going to get there? And you haven't shed a tear over them? You haven't gone out of your way to make sure they know that you care enough about them? Are you failing as a soul winner? I'm going to admit in front of you all, I have failed over and over and over again. But I'm working. I'm working at it. And I'm asking the Lord to help me. And there's no excuse about your personality. There's no excuse about your social graces or gifts or anything like that. You have the truth. And you owe it to them. Paul said, I'm a debtor, both to the wise and the unwise, to all of them, the Jew or Greek, any of them. You and I owe those people out there the truth. And there's reasons you fail as a soul winner. And those are just some of them. Preacher, if you'd come, let's pray. Father, we ask that you might bring us back to Calvary and realize what a great thing you did for us in shedding your blood to save our souls from hell. And Lord, after we hit the foot of that cross, may you bring us to the gates of hell and see what you see and give us spiritual discernment to see souls. And Lord, this week, even this night, when we go out of here, may you give us discernment to see the people going by us as souls. Help us to care, Lord. Help forgive us for being so selfish. Give us the compassion that our Savior had, at least part of it. And see these people as sheep having no shepherd, lied to from the time they hit from cradle to grave. This world lies to them and keeps them deceived. And Lord, we have the truth. And they need the truth. And they're not going to hear it if we don't open our mouths. Lord, help us to be better soul winners. Help us to care like you care. When we get out on the street corner, help us not to be their enemies. Help us to be compassionate on them. Tell them the truth. Help us to look at our neighbors this week. Help us to look at coworkers, kids in class, and see them like you see them, dying and going to hell without Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to work on these things that keep us from being effective soul winners. And bring us out of ourselves and use us, we pray, to open our mouths, to take the reproach, to take the embarrassment, to take whatever it is, that by all means we might save some. And we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.